Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand. If you are new to Hope Rock Church, good morning and welcome. My name is Marco. I'm sure that most of you know who I am, even though I've been gone for a couple of weeks. I'm back now, so unfortunately for you, I'm just kidding. This is just a joke, right? Don't be look too happy or too sad. Can I ask the Rotan team that went on the trip, those that made it to Rotan this time, if you could come up to the front real quick. Everybody, come on up. I have to delineate that. I want to also welcome everybody that's joined us online as well and is joining us online this morning. So this is an interesting bunch of people. I mean, these guys are pretty awesome. We're missing a few here and there. They just couldn't be with us today. But they represent what we call now the first wave of our missionary trip into Roatan. This is the advance team, also known as the A team. Not because they're better, but just because they went first. And if you don't know this, I know Charlie shared this story last week. There was a whole lot of more of us. There was 23 of us initially. But what ended up going on this trip was 9 of us. Now, what the Lord had done with our hearts and on this trip is an amazing story. I'm going to let, you know, Wendy, Sal, and Alessia give a little bit of feedback on this trip themselves, and then I'll close it off. Because I really believe there's a powerful testimony here. And I think God's going to do even greater things. So, Wendy, kick us off.
Good morning, Hope Rock Church. So yeah, the Mighty Nine are right there. So as most of you know, the only 9 of us made it. So, but when you think about it, it doesn't really make sense because Carrie and I rode together and Mary Beth and Lindsay rode together and Carrie didn't make it and Lindsay didn't make it. Sorry, I rode together. And exactly. So, you know, to the natural mind, that doesn't make sense. Now, I'm a planner. So we get to the airport, and when things don't go as planned, I go a little bit cuckoo. So we're at the, we're standing at the gate, and I look at Sal, and I realize I haven't even said really a sentence to him at church. And we're about to go on a 5-day mission trip together. And he looks at me, and he goes, should we even go? You know, here I am, deacon of the church, and I'm going, say yes, say yes, say yes, right? So I said, let's get to Dallas and figure it out. And we went, obviously. So anyway, at first we found ourselves questioning, how can this be your plan, right? How can this be your plan that only 9 of us are here? But it was his plan. So Proverbs 19:21 says that many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. God's plan and purpose for your life will always prevail. So we led with that, and we were riding on his spirit. We were not riding on our plan that we had so for so long planned. We were riding on the Holy Spirit. So two quick stories that I have, and then I'll let a few of them share. There's a picture I wanted to show up here. We are at, this is out in front of the community called the Bread for the Bite, and they live above a swamp area. And so this is Tanya's house. We're about to go into Tanya's house. We didn't call her and tell her we were coming. She didn't clean up for us. She just welcomed us right into her home. So all 9 of us were inside the home, and the next picture is us standing in there. And even though she spoke Spanish, so a lot of it we couldn't understand, she prayed for us for about 20 minutes with tears rolling down her face. So the unwavering faith of that woman. She lives with, she's got 8 kids and 1 grandkid, and they all live in this 8x8 area. And so, you know, we found ourselves going, you know, live like Tanya, right? She 100% relies on the Lord for everything with unwavering faith. So that really touched us all. And then the next one here is we went to the, I'm not going to say this right, Magikin Broby Children's Home. And I've been to Rotan, this is my 4th time, and we've never been to this children's home. And there's 9 boys that live here, and they don't have any parent involvement. They had not seen anybody in 16 months. Nobody had come to see them. So when we walked in, they looked like they saw a ghost. Like, you know, they were kind of like, I mean, we were all like, what do we do? You know, it felt so awkward. But when we were there, we played soccer with them, these amazing soccer players here. We led a Bible study. And mind you, we don't, and none of us teach children's ministry. So we're Googling, you know, on the way there, a Bible study for kids, you know, and yeah, Sal had it completely planned. So we were all good. So we did that. And, we did a Bible study. We painted the front of the school and we played Uno with them. And just to see them light up, you know, by the end of the time that we were there, it was like the Lord breathed life back into them, into those kids. And they were, you know, waved at us as we left. And so I truly hope that we blessed them as much as they blessed us. So a couple of funny things, because when you go on a trip, with people, you get to know them pretty well. So we all got tickets to Aiden's gun show. So I was going to put that up there, but anyway, yeah, we got tickets to Aiden's gun show. No one in our group is consistently late. Everybody's on time. You know, usually there's people that you're like, God, late for breakfast. Who's making us late? We're an active bunch. Jessica led us in a circuit training around the pool. Somebody didn't show up, Marco. We're not naming any names. But yeah, we did a workout. We did handstands. We did sprints up hills. So we were a pretty active bunch. And then some precious people came over from St. Helene. And I wish I had a video, but we know who can dance and who can't dance. Break your back. Yeah. So they taught us all these dances. And yeah, it was pretty funny. So ask us later to see that video. And then we learned who was good at charades and who was terrible at charades. So that was kind of fun. You know, I just wanted to end with this. Like, as much as we plan, God's purpose and plan is going to prevail. And I truly believe that the people of Roatan, what they needed was somebody to come back again shortly. And so the 20 people that are going to get to go back in 2 weeks, you know, I mean, they haven't seen people in so long. We were actually the last people out and the first people back in to volunteer. Roatan, or our church, Hope Rock, was. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Sure, why not? All right. Wow, I was part of the initial 7 to make it to Roatan. And just coming back, it's such a jarring experience to go. And I mean, I think all of us have collectively been to third world countries, have served on various different mission trips. And, you know, I had about a week to process kind of what went on. And I was just struck with how God provided his provision for us. And the partnerships that Hope Rock Church Lake Travis has developed, God's provision, man, we showed up and we're like, I'm looking at Wendy. Like I said, I probably have had like 5 sentences with her in the year I've been at Hope Rock. And I'm like, should we go? I'm looking at my son and it's like, am I going to go? And like, I don't know. I don't speak. I'm like the one brown guy on the island who can't speak Spanish. So I'm like, this is not going to go well. You know, God, he showed up in a mighty way. Like, we did not have a plan, but he did. And in our weakness, he was made strong. So, oh man, I was just struck with that. His provision is perfect. And we got a chance. I don't know if we have a picture of the rehab that we were able to serve at. Yeah, so here is my son on the right, Aiden Ancito, and a gentleman by the name of Derek. And I just want to give a hand clap for our youth. Aiden, man, dude. Aiden worked tirelessly. He propped up all of us. We were growing weary in the hot sun. So this is us. We were able to, I say, frame a second floor at the rehab. It was a little bit, well, it was an American Standard building, but yeah, it was, but it was Travis, an amazing pastor on Roatan, and I look forward to all you guys meeting him, loves the Lord. He forewarned us. He was like, do not be about just finishing the job in your American ways. Go and experience these folks. And I mean, the stories, the Ancito there, he's just the left of Aiden. He's telling me, you know, these guys have been in drugs, prison, just brokenness. And he's talking about going back in the restoration that's happened with him and his wife and his children. He has a legacy of brokenness, and like God is breaking the shackles of addiction, and just, oh man, it just gives me chills just like to be there. And like, we didn't have a plan. We didn't. We're showing up and we're just like, let's just be faithful. And so like, I encourage anybody who feels a slight call, even if you may not be the most gifted, to go and serve. And then I don't know, you shared kind of all the funny stories. It was an awesome time. And I look forward to the other groups going. The partnerships. There's so many times I've been in ministry, served as an intern at a very large church up in Seattle. And like, you can just like try to force your way. But I truly believe the partnerships that have been developed going years back, they're authentic. And there's not just like, I'm going to go throw some dollars at a problem. There's true intentionality on what's happening. I don't say that just because I'm part of Hope Rock, but I saw it with the organizations that were there. They love the people. I want you guys to go and experience it for yourself. And they want to see a rebirth in the Lord. It's not like just putting, Pastor Travis said this about putting shoes on people's feet or just providing for their physical needs. It is truly about a relationship with the Lord. I'm excited for the future trips to come. And I look forward to what the next group will have to share with us. So I'll pass it down to Alessio.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Alessio.
So, as you can hear, this trip was crazy. Nothing went to plan, basically, on the first day. I mean, for us, they didn't make it the first day. It was crazy. And then my dad made a mess up with an email. So when we arrived, he basically said there are no leaders on the trip. So my dad and Wendy were having an argument with Wendy being a deacon. And and so there was a battle there. But it was very good to get to know everyone and to know the people of the island. And just to see how faithful they are in the Lord and how they always trust in Him. And one thing we could learn from them is just how much faith you can have. And it just doesn't matter how broken you are, you can be saved. And how the Lord's timing is perfect and His plans are mysterious, as this trip can show. And funny enough, all the people that couldn't make it can all make it to the next trip. They didn't get on this one, and we can't make it for that July trip. So everything ended up working out. The Lord's plans, Lord's ways. This was a great trip. Good to know everyone, and a pleasure to be with them.
Amen. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. No.
Okay.
Where is it? Do we have it?
The video?
Okay. Do you have the video? No. I don't think we have the video.
Oh, I can send it to you.
Yeah, send it. I don't think we got it. Anyway, there is a video. We'll show it another time. Yeah, next week. I don't have it. Mark, if you can come up. I just want to say, just as everyone goes, let's give them one more hand. These guys really put themselves out there. And big ups to Wendy, Sal, everybody on the team, because, and I wasn't saying there was no leaders on the trip, just to correct my son's thing. I was trying to make a point to American Airlines. But they really did well. I mean, to be honest, these guys are awesome, and God had their back all the way. And I know that they just did everything that God wanted them to do, and they did it with all the excellence that they could possibly muster. And to be honest, what the enemy meant for bad, God used for good, because the team that's going back now shortly knows where to go, who to support, what missions desperately need our help, and there's partnerships that have been formed now on this trip that they can just breathe more life into. So we're excited. Mark, come over here. I know we took a little bit of time this morning just giving feedback, but we're a church that believes in the nations. We're a church that believes that God's called and commissioned all of us. And so I would encourage all of you, if you haven't been on a mission trip, visited a nation, if you haven't gone to another country, please come speak to us. We want to send you, and we'll send you with all our blessings. As you can see, you don't need a leader to go with you, because we're all leaders. Hallelujah. Mark, over to you, buddy. Let's pray for you, and then we're going to hear from Mark. Father, I thank you for this amazing man of God. Thank you for the word that he's prepared so diligently. I pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive it. As a deacon in this church, Lord, we value him and his beautiful wife, Patty, and just the investment that they've made into us as a church. And we continue to trust, Lord, that you will move mightily through him, even this morning in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. I'm Mark Batten, I'm a deacon. I also lead Fight Club here at Hope Rock Church. It's the men's ministry. And if you could dial me down just a little bit, Timothy, because I know I'm going to shout before the morning's over. It's really going to be obnoxiously loud. October of last year, the Lord gave this picture to me while I was sitting here during one of our services, and I wrote it down, jotted it down, sketched it out, forgot about it. February, the same vision came to my mind again, sitting where you're sitting, and so I began to flesh that out a bit with Scripture. I always take visions from God and make sure it lines up with Scripture. And then a few weeks back, Marco asked if I could preach, and he asked if I asked if there's anything in particular he wanted me to preach on, and he said, no, you've got the floor. So I pulled out that that scratch paper, and I began to work on it, and out came this message, which I believe is for someone here this morning, because 6, 8, 7 months ago, this message was emerging. And it's for a time such as this morning. So I trust that someone here is going to hear what I have to say, and it's going to change your life. Whether you're in person or online, I want to welcome you, and let's get into it. The overflow of the gospel is the title of today's message. And I just want to let you know that God's gospel, this good news, is not just for you to hold on to for yourself, but it's to freely let go by way of proclamation, by declaration of what he's done in your life so that others might be changed too through the gospel. Amen. Most of us have either been hurt or have done the hurting. So we're thinking to ourselves, I'm in no position to tell others about Jesus because I'm messed up or I have messed up. I've either caused pain or I've been the recipient of evil behavior. Some have been the victims of evil, while others the perpetrators of it, while most have inflicted pain upon themselves through sin. So whether you can stand up here with me and share stories that are somewhat horrendous, and I'll save you my story, all of us have wounded ourselves because of our sinful behavior. Regardless of your viewpoint this morning, the pain and shame often felt can be crippling. For some, the suffering is experienced in silence. For others, the pain reveals itself in destructive behaviors. What is the best response to being wounded? For having wounded? For having a shameful past? What's the right response? For most, especially in today's picture-perfect world, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I guarantee you, if I look at all your Facebook pictures, they're perfect, right? The lighting's perfect. You've got the perfect backdrop. There's nothing in these pictures that scream, I've got issues, or I've had issues in the past, or I've been hurt. It all screams positivity. I had to laugh as I was looking for some pictures to share today, but I decided not to do it. But you ever see a picture of someone flying what looks like a Learjet? It's got the mahogany panels and the leather seats, and they're sipping a glass of champagne. A lot of those are not even real. Those are staged pictures. You can actually go to L.A., Chicago, New York, or London and go to a studio and rent what looks like a Learjet to get your picture taken in it so you can put it online and look like you've got your life together. So if I ever forget that the things that happened to me happened not just for a purpose, because I want to make sure you understand, bad things happen to people, and God is not the perpetrator of evil, okay? But God will take those evil acts that were committed against you or that you committed, and he will turn it to good. We sang about that this morning. So what do we do? We keep silent most of the time. But for Christians, what if God wants to use your wounds to help others find healing? Think about that. How many of us here this morning are keeping silent after having been healed? You're afraid to show your scabs out of fear of what people might think of you. I'm looking out here and I'm seeing a ministry opportunity that's unbelievable. I bet you there's scabs in every seat. Yet we sit silent and we don't speak about the great physician who healed us from that wound. What if my mistakes can help others avoid them or recover from them? Rather than keeping silent, what if I were to leverage my experiences to help save another from experiencing the same? Or better yet, help others find healing, the ultimate feeling found only in Jesus Christ. I suggest, and I believe that Scripture makes clear that the very healing you received or will receive from God is not just for your personal benefit. It's meant for others as well. God's measure of grace in your life is far too great to be contained or exhausted. Yet we hang on to it and keep it to ourselves. There is an overflow to the gospel. And that overflow should spill over and refresh those closest to you and to me. Those thirsty for truth and life. But guess what? Satan would prefer you keep silent. Now, this morning you might be thinking, I don't quite fit into this category of being wounded or wounding others. But let me tell you, that's so far from the truth. Isaiah 53:3-5 puts it this way. It's going to explain to you and to me that we are all born mortally wounded. Amen. We are born destined for eternal death, destruction, and hell. He, Jesus, was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sickness, and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities, punished for our peace. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. Every one of us here is wounded from birth. Amen. And out of those wounds flows hurt towards other people. It flows desperation. Through our wounds at birth, as we grow up, we begin to try to fill that wound with something other than God. We look for other means to bring healing. We spend money. We engage in relationships. There's all kinds of ways that we try to heal that wound. And let me just stop right here because I kind of started off on a heavy note. You know, last week, Charlie, man, he's just like full of wisdom and, you know, funny analogies, right? Mind-blowing thoughts. Marco is, you know, precise with his words and, you know, and he's just convicting. And, you know, here I'm somewhere in the middle. You never know what you're going to get with me. But I want you to know that, you know, my heart loves Jesus, and I just really want you to see that.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus died for your wounds. You are healed as a believer. Your wound, your mortal wound was healed. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:6 puts it this way, through 10. For God who said, light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. This is the Christian life. This is after you have said yes to Jesus by faith and have been born again, regenerated, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is for us believers. Now here's what happened. On Instagram and Facebook, we show this clay jar, don't we? It's perfect. There's no blemish. There's no crack. It's perfectly symmetrical. Boy, it looks pretty, doesn't it?
Yeah, amazing.
It's an amazing jar of clay. In all reality, this is what should be on our Instagram feed. A mortal wound on this perfect picture that we want the world to see. Now, this mortal wound, we had no idea it was there. We kind of knew. God says that he's stamped eternity in our hearts. So we kind of know there's something more than this life, right? But God let light shine out of darkness and into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus. This looks elementary, but I want you to know that this is the vision God gave me. So maybe someone here needs a word picture, or maybe this will help make sense of the gospel. So the Bible also tells us that the enemy, the devil, has been blinding your mind since you can't see the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. You can't see. You can't see truth. He's blinded you. God blew apart that darkness by shining his light of knowledge. He began to work through your circumstances, the pain in your life, your addiction, the people that inflicted pain upon you, your sorrow, your anxieties. I can't list all the things we deal with as fallen people, but we all have a hole in our heart that can only be filled by God's love. Now we have this treasure, which is the Holy Spirit, in this jar of clay, so that this extraordinary power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrected King, may be on display for all the world to see that it's from God and not from you. You did not make yourself beautiful. God took something mortally wounded and imperfect and turned it into something beautiful. Yet, beautiful is really this side with the scab. That scab, that wound doesn't go away. We will never be fully glorified until we get to heaven. Then we'll have a new body. Right now, your wounds, your scabs, perhaps are meant to bring God glory, to help you reach somebody who is struggling with the same. You've been resurrected to new life. Your dead life was raised to newness of life. You used to be unuseful. Is that a word? Useless? See, Marco never says anything wrong. Whilst he says everything perfectly. Whilst he says everything perfect. God saved you from a life of uselessness into a life of usefulness. He saved you so that you might proclaim him and him risen. And how better to do that than say, I was once this, but I am still this, but I've been healed by the blood of Jesus. Continuing that same passage, this is for us believers. We are afflicted in every way. So we've got this mortal wound, right? Yet the sin in our life, the sin in other people's lives, guess what? It gives us, yet, another wound. You didn't know you had to wear goggles, right, when you come to church? We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, which is good news. But we tend to focus on the not being crushed part when we go to church, right? We hear that message a lot. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We always hear about, you know, God giving us, clarity on our circumstances. We don't focus on being perplexed. How many of us in the midst of our pain and our sorrow are just confused? Why is this happening to me? I'm a child of the King. Why am I going through this? Let me suggest to you, it's for a purpose. We consider all things working together for good. Those who are called by God and who are loved by God. He works all those things out for his good and for your good. We are persecuted but not abandoned. We are struck down but not destroyed. That is such good news. But verse 10 says, we always carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may be, what? Displayed. Amen. In our body. Hallelujah. The clay jar is ruined, right? We want to discard it. No, it's beautiful. Amen. It's more functional now than ever. Yeah. Some might say, I object, Mark, because in Philippians 3:13, didn't God say through Paul, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. That's often misquoted or misused to mean, I'm going to forget all that junk, and I'm just going to look to heaven. I'm going to just look for Jesus to come back in all of his glory. I'm going to forget about my testimony. I'm going to forget about what I once was and focus on who I'm going to be. And there's an element of truth to that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Again, that is often taken out of context. We have been made new so that we can proclaim Christ. We were reconciled to God so that the scars of our life might be on display in this jar of clay that is being held together by none other than God's holy hand. If you continue Philippians 13 to 14, it says this, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ. So going back to 13, the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ. The key is, what is the prize? The prize is faithful service. And we're given the crown of righteousness in response to faithful service. What is the faithful service or the call, the heavenly call in Christ? It's to be ambassadors of Christ, to be his witnesses, as though he was making a plea through us. Does that make sense? First Peter 3:15 goes on and says, this is the other objection I hear. I take it back. This isn't the objection. This is my antidote for somebody's objection for not forgetting the past. Peter says, be ready at a time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Be ready to give a defense, to give an explanation for the hope. I was once like this, and now I'm like that. I was once addicted to this. I am now free from that. I was once lost. Now I am found. I was once abused, and now I'm set free from that abuse. The list could go on and on and on. We have to be ready to give a defense for the hope that's in us. And our hope is rooted in Christ. It's founded in Christ. But what did he give us that hope for or from or of? It's hope of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, to be made new. Now, I'm going a little bit off script here. And if you're honest, you're like perking up in your seat because whenever the pastor goes off script, you're like, it's going to get good, right? It's going to get real good. No more Bible. I want to hear some juicy stories. So, and usually when I go off script, I stand in front of the podium like this just to really convey I'm like off script, you know. It's like a reality show, you know. It looks like it's real, but it's not real. This is real, somewhat. So, right after I got married, I did something horrendous that almost derailed my marriage to my wife. We're celebrating 30 years in 3 weeks. And a byproduct of this marriage is my youngest, my son Greg here. Within a short period of time after getting married, I almost lost the love of my life. Took many years later for me to then tell her how I was violated, not by her, but by somebody else who was trusted. And I carried that guilt and that shame and that hurt for a very long time. And it wasn't until I came out of the shadows with this hurt. And I'm a Christian, you know. If you all knew what I've been through and what I've done, my my humanness would say you would not respect me or like me. But I don't care about what you think about me. I want you to know my Jesus, Amen. Who can resurrect anybody and forgive anybody Hallelujah. And heal anybody. So I came out of the darkness sharing hurt with her how I'd been hurt severely. And guess what? My ministry, Bike Clubbers, most of you know the story, and my ministry for the past 20-plus years has been rooted in my past failures and the people who have hurt me. Now, does that sound like a platform for reaching people with the gospel? Heck yeah, it does. Because God's taken this imperfect person, and he's done a miraculous work in my life so that I might reach others with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of you have stories, too, and I don't want to share stories. And ultimately, I want my story to point to Jesus. I want him glorified. I don't want any tension at all. But I will stand up here today and tell you, I am not perfect. I've done horrible things, and I've had horrible things done to me. And if you feel like God's grace is beyond your circumstances, I challenge you with that notion. I'd love to spend time with you and talk about your hurts and your hang-ups. From perpetrating sin to being a victim of sin, I am beautiful. I've been restored, scabs and all. And I am making disciples, leading people to Christ, through my witness, through my testimony, through the power that lives in me. You all know David, King David. He wrote a beautiful psalm that I totally connect with. David was an adulterer, a murderer, and his sin just followed him the rest of his life. But he was a friend of God. And he penned Psalm 51 as a victim and a perpetrator of sin. And this is for all of us here today because we're all wounded. And we've wounded others, I'm sure. Now, Psalm 51 may have been written by David, but the Bible tells us that every word of God's scripture was breathed out through God. God was with David when this was written. So it's not just David's perspective, but this is God's perspective. This is what he wants from his children. This is Paul or David. Be gracious to me, God. According to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion. Completely wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin, for I am conscious of my rebellion and my sin is always before me. Against you and you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right, God, when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. That's the mortal wound. I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you deserve or desire integrity in the inner self. And you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop and clean, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all of my guilt. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Stop right there. It's God. Give me cleansing. God, restore me. Give me joy. Give me peace. Give me forgiveness, right? Look what happens in verse 10 or verse 13. In response to God healing David, David says, "Then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God, God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not want a sacrifice or I would give it. You are not pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. A broken spirit. You will not despise a broken and humbled heart. pretty hard to be humble and broken when you're showing the world the perfect side, the side that nobody could, you know, it's fake. But to humbly confess to God and to others that you have failed, but your hope is in His healing grace, His forgiveness. That's what God wants. David was restored, and he promised, and he did declare the praises of God. That's our response. That should be our response. Not hold on to that forgiveness ourselves and hope nobody ever asks about it or not share freely. And I'm not saying every person you come in contact, hey, guess what? This is what I did. Here's my list of transgressions and sins. No. In the context of relationships within the church, or if God brings somebody that needs to hear the gospel and you can work that in, let the Holy Spirit lead you into sharing those deep, dark truths when the time's right. And ultimately, we make much about Him and little about us. That is your testimony. God is sovereignly in control of your circumstances, guiding and directing them, not causing them, for His glory and for your good. Romans 5 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through Him by faith, not works. We don't gain access by being perfect, because none of us are. We have obtained access through Him by faith. Christ is the object of our faith, not us and what we do or have not done. By faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Continuing, and not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character. Proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that He has given us. Water representing the Holy Spirit. His Spirit has been poured out into our lives. But look what's happening. You see that? This hope will not disappoint. We know all things work together for good for those who are called by God according to His purposes. John 7:3-8 says this, the one who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. Those streams flow through the mortal wound of your lostness and the pain that you've experienced in your life. That's the overflow of the gospel. This gospel is not for you and you alone. It's not for your healing. It's not for your benefit. It's not your personal band-aid. It is healing for all eternity. And a wound that turns into a scab doesn't go away. You can hide it. But why? Some of you are wondering, well, how do I share my faith? Show the scars. Amen. As easy as that. Of course, the scars point to Christ who healed you. As the worship team comes forward, I want to close with the story of Thomas, also known as Didymus. In English, it just means he's the twin. It's from John chapter 20. And it's basically going to tell us this, that healed wounds or scabs can lead to belief. Not only for you, if you're not a believer here today, but for your unbelieving friends. Your healed wounds can lead to salvation. But Thomas, called twin, one of the 12, was not with the other 11 when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, hey, Thomas, We've seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, if I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe. A week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, this is Jesus, put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe. Thomas responded to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. You and I may be the closest thing to Jesus people will ever see. Our healed wounds, our scabs, when they testify to his greatness, may be what they need, the unbeliever, or even the believer who's doubting. It may be what they need to believe. The wounds of Christ continue to heal today. The holes in his hands and his feet and his side continue to heal today. That is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, his blood shed for your sin. If Jesus is still showing his wounds for your life, being a ransom for your life, shouldn't we show our scabs from days gone by that he has healed, that others might believe? An unbelieving world could care less if you have the perfect life, because chances are they think their life is better than yours. But when they realize you've got more joy and more purpose and more hope than they do, despite your scars, that is when an unbeliever gets really curious. So this morning, as the lights are dimmed and as we sing this song before Marco comes and closes, I'm just trusting that you're going to hear from God, or you have heard from God. Maybe there's a ministry that's going to be birthed out of this congregation this morning, or this meeting. Or maybe some confession. Maybe you need to go and confess to the one you've hurt that you did it and you're sorry. And feel the freedom that God promises for those who do that. Maybe you've had horrible things perpetrated against you. This morning, I encourage you to release that and the power and the promise of God. He loves you. But don't stop there. Take what you have experienced, will experience, and let God turn what maybe the enemy meant for harm. Let him turn it for good. And that good is to save people. He wants all to be saved. And I believe that you and I are key to the gospel going forward to the ends of the earth. It's the Great Commission. That's why you and I are still here, not called to heaven. The minute we said yes to Christ, there's work to be done. So the gospel is a gospel of overflow. It's not just for yourself. And let the power of the Spirit flow through your hurts, your pains that have been healed by the blood of Christ.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.